We are inside the London Hatchery and Conditioning Centre, and this is the fertilising room, an enormous laboratory where the temperature is never allowed to fall below 98.6. And here comes the director of hatcheries and conditioning in person.
Today, I just want to give you a general idea of things. These are the incubators, and here is the week's supply of ova, kept at blood heat. Come along, boys. Now here, we immerse the eggs into a warm bouillon containing free-swimming spermatozoa. Immersion continues until the eggs are all fertilized. Ah, and over here, here is where we bottle the alphas and betas. In short, gentlemen, the perfect process for manufacturing healthy babies. Are there any questions?
Sir, will you explain the Bakunovsky process?
I'm glad you asked that. Students, take this down. Bakunovsky's process, where in olden times one egg made one embryo which made one baby. Today we've improved on all that. Now the egg will divide from 8 to 96 buds, and every bud will grow into a perfectly formed embryo, and every embryo into a mature baby, making 96 human beings grow where only one grew before. Progress.
But what advantage is it, sir?
My good boy, can't you see? Where in olden times nature allowed us only to have twins or perhaps triplets or so, today we can create scores, yes, scores of identical individuals. We can manufacture men and women in uniform batches. Think of it. An entire factory staffed with the product of one single egg. 96 identical individuals working 96 identical machines. At last, society really knows where it stands. And now, boys, we will go up to the bottling room, where we shall see how we create each class of society. Alphas, betas, deltas, etc. Come with me.
Welcome to the next generation of science, the Agnet. Within 12 months, it will be harvest ready, providing a carrier for your baby, second pair of lungs, fresh skin, all genetically indistinguishable from your own. It's a product, ladies and gentlemen, in every way that matters. Not human.
Good evening, everybody. It's Sunday, October 17th, 2021. This is the Fakeologist speaking. I come to you Sunday to Thursday at 8:30 p.m. in the Eastern Daylight Savings Time from the North Shores of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I have a blog called fakeologist.com, and I post many times a day on many topics. I started off with 9/11. That led me to media fakery, and then that got me down many, many rabbit holes, and now I am solidly down the great reset, the great coronavirus hoax reset. I'm way down that rabbit hole. I'm here with you. So if you want to hear commentary and callers that talk about fakeology, that knows about psyops, that knows that the moon hoax and the JFK hoax and the nuclear hoax, the 9/11 hoax, and now the coronavirus hoax. And if you want to listen to someone talk about that on a daily basis, then you've come to the right place. I don't think there's one other host in the world that I can think of that understands the world of psyops, media fakery, that on the weekly goes and looks into the nature of the earth, the solar system. I'm not afraid to look into the manufacturing of human beings, as the video from the wonderful Mr. E just pointed out. I'm really not afraid to touch too many topics. Now, there's some topics I'm not interested in and I don't believe, so I don't go into them, and I won't explain those every single show, but this is a very eclectic show, and I don't really spend too much time in one place for too long. I get bored easily. So right now, I'm firmly down the vaccine rabbit hole, because that is the topic of the day. I'm very interested in learning about vaccines, watching all the documentaries on vaccine damage. I'm very interested in watching all the documentaries and hearing all the testimonials about people that have been looking into vaccines, people that are vaccine injured, damaged, dead, because of course it's the topic of today and it'll be the topic of tomorrow and the next month and the month after that. Until people realize what's happening, and that video you just watched by the brilliant Mr. E. Mark, wherever he is in the world, I'm not sure. I think he's in America now. I think he used to be in Thailand. This guy has the Bible down. He's got EGI down. He has history down. I'd really like to have him back on the show if I can find him again, because he really understands what's going on. And that video he just showed, you know, wow. You know, this guy, even though you might not believe that they are sending mass, well, first of all, you must agree that the media is pounding transgender down your throat. Whether you believe it's happening on an elite level or not, you have to admit, just in the video he just posted, the examples of daily stripping down of people's basic sexuality, trying to get women to forget their women and men to forget their men, forget their traditional roles. And I really do believe that I think that was Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, where they really would like to sterilize the stupid people, which they consider, or the profane, which is most people. And they want to create an elite society. And they want just the blue bloods. They're the only ones that are allowed to wild. The rest of us will get sterilized. And they'll use vaccines as the sterilization agent. If you don't think that, if you think that's science fiction, if you don't believe that could happen, if you don't believe that if you were in a position of power and you were in charge of running the world, if you don't think you would follow that playbook, then you are so naive. I don't care if it's 2021, evil still exists in the world. Evil people still exist. You could be an evil person if you rose to the level of power that certain people have used technology to rise to. Don't think you wouldn't do it either. So that just means that it is just a built-in fault of humanity, of the human race. It is a built-in fault. Doesn't matter what color, creed, ethnicity, you could do it if you got in those positions. And don't think if you weren't in public health making $500,000 a year, you wouldn't go along with this either. You damn well would. Because you know the profane that you're taking their jobs away from, you're killing their livelihood. You know they're going to be desperate soon. So you're going to have to build a very, 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 very tall and thick wall. But you would take the $400,000 or $500,000, whatever they're getting paid, of the fake money. Because that money is going to evaporate anyway. So I think it's a fool's errand to take the money now. Because the people at the top, they will get rid of the collaborators first. They will be the first to go. The people of principle, they'll take a little longer, but the collaborators will go. So this video really laid out what they'd like. And the elite will duplicate themselves. They will grow organs so they can extend their own lives to 100, 150 years. I'm pretty sure that if the people that aren't vaccinated, the people that aren't poisoned, the people that are eating the good food that isn't chemically altered or poisoned, I'm sure they do live to around 100. And not just the people we see in public. I think the public figures, they just get worn out by lying day in and day out. I think the people behind them, the elite, with all the money, I do think they live a lot longer. I think Rockefeller, even though he didn't look very good, he lasted to 100. So if you live cleanly, and if you live without stress, and if you live, and if you are able to get your hands on replacement organs, because I'm sure organs do wear out or do get poisoned, maybe accidentally, then I'm pretty sure if they're growing them now, like at the end of this clip here, I'm pretty sure that you could live a very long life. But even though this is supposed to be, he just gathered clips from movies. We've always said here, it's truth in movies, lies in the news. Always said that. Now let's take a look at the chat tonight. Say hello to the regulars. We got Stupid. Stupid says, here you go. Stupid's a regular. He said, I would get rid of the stupid people if I was the elite. It would make me feel better. But then again, only smart people are going to be left. I don't know how that's going to work. Well, yeah, I suppose if you wanted to pare the world down, you would probably just want the smart people around. I know they'd be dangerous to you. But maybe they just want to clip a good chunk of the dumb people, the useless eaters. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I don't know the exact plan. I don't know if the plan is going to plan. I've always said that it's to bring down the United States. If they can get the United States, the most decentralized country in the world, then they can take down the whole world. Or conversely, if they take out the whole world and then focus their guns on the United States, that could also work. And places like Canada, where we have the Queen's subjects that are very loyal, they're an easy kill. And I'm in the middle of these people here in Ontario, loyalist country. So I can see Ontario just falling easily. I can see that. We've got, we're broadcasting live tonight at fakeologist.com/live. I'm probably going to put the show schedule there from now on. So I've already done that. Now, fakeologist.com/live. So if you go there for the show schedule, you can. And let's see if that loads up. Come on now. fakeologist.com/live. So this is the live show page. So it's got your schedule. Well, tonight we go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday we've got the fart. So there's your schedule there. There's the links, audio, video, some donation, donation areas. So that's where the show schedule is going to live. So just type fakeologist.com/live. I might leave it up on the main blog as the featured post. I might leave it there for a while. Then I'm going to just leave the first post. It's just going to be whatever I post for the day. Now, for those that don't know, I also broadcast live on fakotube.com, which is where I just played this video from, fakotube.com. That's where I put my favorite videos. We're already up to 1.14 million hits. So that's a pretty good site. Put a lot of my favorite clips just in a central place so you don't have to go looking all over for them. Because as you know, videos are all over the place now. I'm getting them on Twitter, Telegram, Rumble. They're everywhere. BitChute. I can't even keep. It's too much. Really hard to keep up. And if I take a day off and do a normal human being things, then I get behind. And then I forget to go places. I have my favorites, of course, because the favorite people are the ones you should concentrate on. They're the ones you should really concentrate on. Don't waste your time with so many misdirects because they are there to waste your time. I know I've wasted a lot of time. I do pare away many of the garbage videos. I do. But I got to wade through a lot of stuff. Luckily, I have the time in the day to do it. I mostly listen, but I do watch a bit. And fakotube.com also has a chat. So let's just refresh this page and see if it comes up. It's a permanent chat. So if you're in the chat now, just say hello. Don't be afraid. I think this is accurate. I think Johnny's list is in the chat, although I'm not sure. I'm not really sure if this is accurate. So it said Johnny's list was in the chat last time. So if you're in there, if anyone's in there, just post a hello link. And because I'm still trying to work it out. Always bugs, 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 all kinds of bugs. And of course, if you want to keep the show going, fakeologist.com/donate. This is a really easy box to work one time or monthly. It works really, really well. You don't need your real name. You can put any name. Just need a real credit card. That's it. And you will show up on the fakeologist.com/donors. Actually, two people watching the old donation video. Junior Fakeologist is supposed to make me a new video. This is a year ago. So all these great donors from a year ago. And these are the current donors. Current $10, $9.11 a month. Thank you, guys. I think it's up to date. Thank you guys so much. And I get the odd, every now and then, I get the single amount donations. I go to the P.O. box about once a month. And I also don't check my digital currency wallet very often. I'm sorry. So if you send me digital currency, you got to let me know, because I have no idea who sends it to me, of course, because it's totally anonymous. So thank you if you donate. Really appreciate that. Okay, let's go back to FakeoTube, because I put many videos on FakeoTube and I do not always blog about them. And if I don't blog about them, then a lot of people don't see them, interestingly enough. So I try and cross post, but it doesn't always work. I don't always remember to do everyone, because it's double work. Now, I am currently watching Dr. Andrew Molden, who, by all accounts, I think was real. And the reason I say that, because he has some pretty wacky ideas. And he was a unique doctor because he did take many different disciplines in medicine. Many years, and I know he gets trashed by a few discreditors who aren't convincing, by the way. Just because they discredit him or they trash him doesn't mean it's convincing. So the one or two places I saw that were trashing him, they're not convincing. Just watching him speak off the cuff, he went to some young guy's place 12, 13 years ago, and the guy videoed it. The guy seemed like a really legitimate guy. And he seemed incredibly smart. He speaks at double speed because he has so much in his head. And I've watched 1 of 4 hours of just this poorly mic'd, poorly lit video. But it's the information I found fascinating. But I see only 21 people have watched it. So I clipped a bit of it. And just listen to this clip. It's 5 minutes, but just listen to this. Listen to him talk. Because when I listened to this, I had to clip it. Now, I clipped it on my phone, so the video is small. I'm sorry about that, but I'm mobile most of the day, so if I'm standing in line up at a store or just outside in between jobs, I use my phone. I'm too lazy to pull out my laptop, and I'm not at the studio, so it's mainly the audio anyway that you want to hear. The video is not important. So here we go. Just listen to this guy. I didn't really describe this video very well. What did I put down here? I just put down he has to speak it 2 times because he knows so much. But I have to replay it to remember, so maybe I'll edit the description in a minute. Let's listen to Andrew.
The yoga clouds come down the forest floor, and look, here's your common spark crusher. Let's pump that out. All that stuff goes away. Yeah. Well, that kind of puts him out of business.
They're
not needed anymore.
I've always wanted to ask you. Go ahead, Mike. It's like having a car and the engine light's on, and then they say, okay, well, the problem is the engine light's bothering the driver, so they take the light out, but they're not really dealing with the engine problem, right?
Exactly. And worse than that, because back to your exemptions again, this is a problem. Before they had a medical exemption called an Arthur's reaction, that the injection site, you had this big swelling welt there that become black and blue like ischemia.
Now, he's talking about medical exemptions back in the 2000s. I think this was 2009. So they were already talking about force vaccinating medical staff, teachers. So don't think what we're going through now is new. They've been doing this for 20 years. Now, I think the medical, this is the first time, though, they're really playing hardball. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are no exemptions. This is a worldwide thing. This is a worldwide PSYOP. So don't think that your local county, state, province is going to allow exemptions, because the exemption criteria are being set worldwide. They can't have one area of the world exempt. Everyone would probably flock there if they could. So the only exemptions that I've ever heard of so far there's one for sure, but who knows if anyone will be able to get the exemption, because to get the medical exemption, you have to take the first shot and have a severe reaction, and it has to happen within 3 days, and then you're exempt from the second shot. No word on the booster 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, but that's how it's going to work. Now, the second exemption, I don't know what it is. I can't remember what it is, but you heard him talk about exemptions, so here we go.
And if you had that reaction to a vaccination, that was a complete contraindication to that individual ever receiving that vaccine again for at least 10 years, because getting it again could kill you. They didn't know why. But when they weakened down the germs and they put them through 20 serial passages of aborted fetal cells and they added all that stuff to it and put them in.
Now, he's talking about the actual definition that used back in 2009 of a vaccine. Now, they've changed the definition a couple times. Now it's just a treatment, which, of course, doesn't make it a vaccine, which doesn't make it qualify. But he's now, Northern Tracy made a comment saying it's too bad Dr. Molden believes in the germ theory. He actually doesn't. And he said it many times. He says it's false. But I think if you just listen to it out of context, it sounds like he does, but he's just explaining the official story. So I don't believe even back then he believed in the germ theory.
Needles, then all of a sudden, when they weakened them, they took away their virulence, the ability to cause a rash, a fever, a swollen lymph nodes, things doctors rely upon, and you rely upon as a parent, say my child or person is sick. So when they did that, all of a sudden, we don't see the arthritis reactions anymore. So now you don't see the contraindication, but the process is still happening systemically in the body. So what they did is they took the light bulb out of the check engine zoom light there, it's there, but no one can see it. They just keep going forward like there's nothing wrong, and they blow the engine.
Exactly.
When it was all preventable if we could see it before. Because arthritis showed this in 1903. And the advisory council immunizations practice say, yes, if you have an arthritis reaction at the injection site, we'll just say, you know, don't get a vaccine, the same vaccine in 10 years. They didn't know why. But, you know, again, they gloss over these things they don't know. But asking a doctor what causes Alzheimer's, don't know. Parkinson's, don't know. Sudden death, autism, ADHD, don't know. Gulf War syndrome, don't know. Chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, not entirely sure. Crohn's colitis, not sure. I don't know. Type 1 diabetes, I don't know. How you treat it? This drug.
That's another reason I clipped this, because it's so right. Every chronic autoimmune disease that he mentioned, the official story, the official cause is we don't know. That's one reason I clipped this. And that is bizarre. In this world where we allegedly can do so much, we're so smart, for most diseases in 2021, it's we don't know. As a matter of fact, they always want to push genetics, which is another false science. You know, they go from one false science to the next. So they spend all the money on genetics because they will spend the money researching where they know they will never find an answer. You want to go down the gene rabbit hole, you'll never come out of it. So the drug companies are happy to spend fortunes because they know the real reason why people get sick is vaccines and the adjuvants that cause a reaction.
Doctor, how's the drug work? Not entirely sure. So you can take responsibility and accolades for doing things that you figure you're fixing something, but they won't take responsibility for things that are causing bad because they don't know what the problem is. Mm-hmm. And they don't know what the problem is, and because of that, they'll never get it right. Because what they've done, it's kind of like putting water in every fire as if it was its own fire, like it was all coal-based fires. Because sometimes you put water on electric fires and make things worse, and that's what they're doing. But they don't see it. And they don't know what to do. They figure, part of the disease process, you're going to get worse anyway. Well, fair enough, you treated the osteoporosis, now she died of strokes from high cholesterol. Congratulations, it wasn't giving her calcium that fixed her problem. Your calcium caused the hardening of the arteries. Calcium was never a problem. She was resorbing her bones because she couldn't carry calcium in the blood. It was too positively charged.
Yeah.
Fixed the blood flow problem, then go away. She'll stop resorbing her bones, stop giving her calcium. She already has enough of it. They are not trained in the physics. They're not trained in biomechanics. And they don't understand that the body is electrical, chemical, and biomechanical, and they have no training in that whatsoever. And that's frustrating because even in Wagman Medical School McMaster, when people came in as a colleague of mine during medical school here, he had a bachelor's degree in literature. After 3 years of McMaster, straight through, he's got an MD. He goes on to become a family doctor, whatever. What the shit does he know about the physiology and physics of this human body here, which is a complicated machine? He's learned symptom, label, drug, doctor, listen to me, direct consumer advertising, ask your doctor. I wouldn't ask Dr. Jack. Should I ask him, Doctor, how do you make one of these bodies from scratch? He says, I don't know. He says, sure, you can do it. I don't know. If he doesn't know how to make it from scratch, why the hell am I going to ask him to heal it? Because he doesn't know how to do it either. You break your bone, and heal yourself. Cut yourself, heal yourself. They're not doing it. They're throwing wrenches in there.
He's saying a guy went from literature into medical school, and basically all they're trained is this: these are the symptoms, this is the drug. These are the symptoms, this is the drug. He said they don't know how to build a body. It's just like a mechanic that knows how to swap parts that can't rebuild the car, rebuild an engine. So those are the doctors today. The doctors today are, here's the symptoms, give them this drug. They could never rebuild a body because the body rebuilds itself. And that's what he's saying. So you would never ask a doctor for an opinion.
They're figuring they're God. They're not God. And their arrogance blinds them to truth.
Yeah.
And their lack of understanding and teaching. And that's changed over the last 100 years or so because Western-based medicine has been monopolized by pharmacy. And Western-based medicine and the doctors and pharmacy became interlocked. And before it was a power differential, doctors were here and pharmacy was here. But it's changed now based on the dynamics and the finances and the financial systems of all. Pharmacy is here. Next to the doctors, everybody will sit in there. Everybody will help us in our organization to advertising our journals, to everybody will our training, to endowments, do research at our universities. These guys who want to sell you stuff own it. And when they put blocks in there, you can never sue them for these adversities from their stuff. All of a sudden, they have no incentive to spend $3 billion doing the due diligence, make sure things are safe. Come with all this new stuff, direct-to-consumer advertising. You've got Pamela Anderson wearing a three-piece business who went around to doctors doing free samples, color for graphs, direct-to-consumer advertising. You go to ask your doctor, hey, I heard about this drug TV. I got 4 free samples.
Now, he's saying, so basically, he's saying doctors used to be above pharmacia. And now it's the opposite. So doctors are underneath pharmacy because they have all the money. But what he was saying was Pamela Anderson was running around in a three-piece suit selling Vioxx. Let's see if that, are there any ads for that? Pamela Anderson ads Vioxx. Now Vioxx was sold by Merck and they took that off the market. And that would be funny if you could get a Vioxx. So she was running around pumping the Vioxx. I bet you the Vioxx commercial. Let's see. I've never heard of that. Maybe that was a private thing. Vioxx was, of course, what was that for? Da, 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 da. Yeah, Pamela Anderson. Oh, wait. Is that it here? Let's see a Vioxx commercial.
It seems like only yesterday. When I started skating at 8 years old, I never
Dorothy Hamill sold Vioxx?
Thought I'd experience the thrill of winning a medal. With all the great memories has come another thing I thought I'd never experience, the pain of osteoarthritis.
Vioxx is here, a prescription medicine for osteoarthritis pain. With one little pill a day, Vioxx can provide powerful 24-hour relief. Vioxx specifically targets only the COX-2 enzyme, a key source of arthritis pain. People with allergic reactions such as asthma to aspirin or other arthritis medicines should not take Vioxx. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have liver or kidney problems. For more information, talk to your doctor about once-daily Vioxx for the relief of osteoarthritis pain.
Perhaps my biggest victory is to be able to plan my day around my life instead of my pain.
Ask your doctor if Vioxx is right for you. Vioxx, for everyday victories.
Okay. Whoa. All right. Well, that's not Pamela Anderson, but I think you get the point when he was talking about drug companies selling directly to the people. Yeah, Pam Anderson, definitely EGI, male to female, no doubt. There she is, a cute boy. Yeah, definitely transvestigation, and yeah, she would fail any transvestigation, absolutely. And why not? That's why they promote. That's why she's promoted, as they put all the videos out. That's how it works. They promote the inversion. And if you looked twice at her and thought, hey, there's something wrong, well, now you know. Quite honestly, here's another Vioxx commercial.
It's a beautiful morning.
Ask your doctor today about Vioxx, a prescription medicine from Merck, and find out what Vioxx can do for you.
Yeah, you can play in the mud. Okay. Not much there. All right, let's move on. Let me finish Dr. Andrew here.
The drug cartel. How's it work? I don't know. Pretty gruff. Pam Lamson told me. Shut up! And then all of a sudden you have 10,000 deaths from Vioxx. And what happened? Heart attack or stroke. Go figure. Shit. And then you go to sue the guys for doing it. Merck Frost makes $18.6 billion in third quarter earnings. They put $750 million aside to defend themselves for future litigation for wrongful death they know they caused. And they're winning the cases because they have more lawyers and money to go fight people they actually know they killed. They don't care. Yeah, and they end up, there's $5 billion already go away. Well, if they make $10 billion, do it. What the hell? They still profited from killing people. Crazy.
I saw my mother really dark spots.
Yeah, and that's... That reminds me, of course, of the Pinto story. Ford Motor Car, they knew the Pinto with the gas tank on the back bumper. They knew if it was rear-end, it would blow up. It was still cheaper to pay off the wrongful deaths than to pull the car off the market or to alter it significantly to save lives. That's just business. It's not even really necessarily malevolence. It's just business. So it's the same with the quaxines. It's the same with any drug. Okay, there will be casualties. Not everyone will survive this. So if you don't mind taking the risk, if the risk of taking the quaxine is low enough that you're willing to take it so you can go to movies or keep your job that you probably hate, if that's worth the risk, then the drug companies are here to supply you. And yeah, they're going to lose people, but they don't care because it's a business. It's pretty simple. You know, Fauci, for all his demonic qualities, he's probably just a businessman first, a eugenicist second. Now, I may have that wrong. Maybe he's a eugenicist first and a businessman second. Either way, they probably work in tandem. And they work very closely. Now, let me play another thing, because I clipped this part because Dr. Moulton's main claim is ischemia, which is blood clotting. Now, there's many reasons that aluminum causes blood clotting. Now, he also goes in, if you watch the 1 hour, part one of four, if you watch this video here, part one of four, it's an hour and 44 seconds. Basically, he says that the red blood cells have a halo around them of charged. They're charged. So that's why they're all the same negative charge. So they're bouncing off each other. The red blood cells, they keep themselves away from each other. So they keep themselves from clumping and jamming up just with the charge. So if you alter the electrical charge in the body, because we are body electric, that will also influence clotting. And he gave the range, it was something like 15 microamps to 100 microamps. That's the range that the blood cells operate. So he's saying when you add aluminum adjuvant directly into the bloodstream, that alters the electrical current because salts conduct electricity and the adjuvant is aluminum hydroxide, among other metals. And that changes the electrical component. That's what causes the red blood cells to clump. And of course, there are many end vascular territories in the body. That is, if you can think of a tributary system, reverse tributary system, reverse of a river system, where the blood starts in the major arteries and then it gets going into smaller and smaller arteries right down to the microcapillaries, which they can't see, by the way. There's no instrument, as far as I'm aware, MRI, CAT scan, that can see microcapillaries. So those are the end vascular units. And if they only have one vascular system going into that territory and no backups, then they're even more highly at risk. So for instance, he mentioned that the pancreas, and this is why I'm interested, because my daughter has type 1 diabetes, which means pancreas does not create insulin. She's 100% insulin dependent. So the pancreas is an end vascular territory. So something killed her pancreas. It's not genetic. Forget that. Something killed her pancreas. Now, I just looked at her immunization record. She had I guess if you count every dose, she had about 40 shots. Lots of 3-in-1s, lots of 4-in-1s, from what I understand. But I added up to about 40. Now I hear it's double now to 80. So something in the adjuvants in these quaxines, including aluminum hydroxide, caused ischemia. And the ischemia, really what it does is it's lack of oxygen in the capillary. So that means lack of red blood cell transmissibility in the microcapillaries. And those endvascular areas, which the pancreas is one, it died. And now it can affect all kinds of other endvascular areas, including the brain. So that's basically what he's talking about here. And I clipped it mainly because he's talking about the pancreas.
It's a traffic jam, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, but these pipes have to close as part of healing, and they close down. And then because there are still roads there coming off and cars are going down here in the area, and the blood is creating electromagnetic fields because it's moving charged particles through the blood. These fields provide like the Hansel and Gretel sort of breadcrumbs that tell these guys, as they finish this first phase of healing, to grow back up in the area and finish the job and regrow and revascularize the area that's finishing healing.
Yeah.
But when you overstimulate it by a very virulent infectious disease or by repeat vaccinations or by immunological intolerance, all of a sudden, all of them close down. And then where's the Hansel Gretel breadcrumb line to go bring them back to the area? You're stuck. And that's what we've done with these damn vaccines. These vessels will not grow back to this area, and all these cables remain broken in the brain. But it's not just the brain, it's the pancreas, because the Langerhans cells in the pancreas are in an end vascular territory. So when you have foreign things there, don't belong there, it's constantly calling the immune system in the area. And the white blood cells, which respond to anything from bacteria in your face for acne to splinters in your hand to infectious diseases. The white blood cells are monsters. They're like 10 to 12 microns in diameter, which is like, you know, here's a small capillary. Red blood cells are bigger, squeezed through a single file.
White blood cells.
White blood cells respond to all infectious diseases.
Yeah. They're the bigger ones.
Called neutrophils. And
yeah. Basically, he's saying that if you have toxins that have gone down the wrong way, causing damage in end vascular areas like the pancreas, the white blood cells are constantly going down there. Because they're 10 or 12 times bigger than a red blood cell, they end up blocking the red blood cell. Red blood cell is what brings the oxygen, so those areas just die. And that is sort of the mechanism he's explaining. That's his theory. And of course, he's not around to explain his theory anymore, and they'll never research that. These are the kind, and you need out-of-the-box ideas. You really need out-of-the-box ideas to explain how vaccines cause damage. And our body is so delicate that it doesn't take much to screw it up. And when you cut oxygen to an area, we all know that when you cut oxygen to the brain, you have 4 minutes, then your brain dead. That's 4 minutes is a very short period of time. Nobody can get to you in 4 minutes if you cut off oxygen to your brain. There's almost nothing that can be done. So what about other areas of your body, like the pancreas, like the liver? 4 minutes, they're dead. It's amazing. End vascular areas are just where the microcapillaries get so small. And there's only one vascular system servicing them. So, for instance, if there's an area where there's two vascular areas servicing, like the posterior of the spine, then even if one gets choked off, the other one can take its place. That's what's saying there. But if you have only one servicing a certain organ or area, then you're screwed if it jams up. Here's another clip from that, talking about the military. And the military, man, I feel sorry for anyone in service. But he was using vaccines to explain post-traumatic stress disorder. Because if you believe that war is a hoax in the way that they portray it, then what is hurting and killing all these young men?
My son is a Marine. A PFC David Faye.
This is the worst cover-up in the history of the military.
But a shot from a syringe that's leaving some U.S. servicemen and women on the brink of death.
When the issue, I believe, of the use of the vaccine comes out, I believe it'll make the Walter Reed
scandal. Sorry, the volume is low. I can't really do much more.
Scandal pale in comparison.
He feels like his country has abandoned him.
I can't look at my old pictures. I really can't. I start looking at my old pictures and I start crying.
I was never sick.
They asked us our name. We stood on these yellow footprints and they gave us a shot. Then we got the rest of the day off.
The shot he was given on November 28th of 2005 was a flu vaccine.
Gained 30 pounds of water in my eyes, swelled up where I couldn't see. I started snoring. I developed a rash on my hand.
3 weeks later, Private Fay was back in Claremont County on his deathbed at Clinton Memorial Hospital. His kidneys failing, his body so swollen it left stretch marks.
I used to just pray to God, please take him tonight.
David is one of a growing number of U.S. servicemen and women getting sick after receiving vaccines. And this highly praised Department of Defense medical officer is mortified. He doesn't want to be identified for fear of retribution.
Are there a lot of folks out there who've had severe reactions to these vaccines?
Thousands. It ranging on the severity from just joint aches and pains and arthritic symptoms to death.
But the military never reported David Fay's reaction to the Centers for Disease Control and FDA.
I see the way propaganda and information war is waged against America's sons and daughters, and how patients are treated who claim to be ill from a vaccine. That's troubling. That should trouble America.
How are these young men and women treated when they claim to have had a reaction to the vaccine?
Like they're nuts. Like it's all in their head.
The Department of Defense maintains the vaccines are safe and effective.
Safe and effective. It's all in your head. You're just crazy. Where have we heard that before? Of course it's being used today. It's always been used. It's always the way.
Effective. I don't want to think bad upon anybody else.
Of course, these are all poor people. A lot of the families, military families, they have no money.
But I hope what goes around comes around. And that they will get theirs in the end. But in the meantime, I'm still like this. And I won't know anything else.
Pretty sick. Yeah, so those are three clips I pulled out of this 1 hour. This clip I think was from another video he did. But there's three clips. Go watch it. I'm on part one still. There's three more parts. I don't know who this guy is that videoed it. Sounds like a smart young boy. He was in college campaigning back in the 2000s to just let the people at the college know the dangers of vaccination. But there's always been people, a very small minority, I'm afraid to say, that have been trying their best to educate people. But people just don't want to listen. They really don't. Even today, I find. All right. What else we got here? I got quite a few good clips here. This was a good clip on the Kevin J. Johnson show. I want to play this for you. I put it on FakoTube. Because I'm trying to figure out how they're going to get rid of the churches and the businesses. Now, this guy here, Chuck Black, he was fired from the United Church of Canada because he would not disclose his private medical information. He wouldn't give his vax status. So he was fired, and he had some good theories. And Ed, the Kevin J. Johnson producer, is a small businessman himself at 35, 40 years. He had some good theories too. I hate to say it, Kevin, but when Kevin is off the show is better because Ed knows quite a bit, and Ed usually lets the guests speak because, of course, that's why they're on the show. So sorry, Kevin. Here's another case where the show was better without you. But kudos for starting the show. And if I ever found a better replacement to me, if I had a co-host that did a better job than me, well, then maybe I'd stand down too. At least once a week. Anyway, let's play a bit.
Mm-hmm. They do everything they can to get the, to put pressure on these churches. And now this church is in a rather left in a rather uncomfortable predicament. What do they do? Do they follow the government? And then, like, what you're going to do, you're going to sue their butts.
Yeah. What you should know is that the government of Ontario mandates only that a vaccine policy needs to be in place. The vaccine policy could be, we will let anybody into the church no matter what their vaccine status is. Or you could get complex. You could go on both sides of the fence. The Ontario government only demands that there is a vaccine policy. So they're off the hook.
That's kind of a good thing. So that's one thing you'll notice that they have constructed in this great PSYOP. Nobody is responsible in any government agency, including the public health agencies, which are charities funded by the government and NGOs and private interests. None of them take responsibility. Even the Ministry of Health in Ontario, where I live, they don't recommend taking the vaccine. They have all kinds of exclusions of liability where they're not recommending it. And you'll find that the hot potato is passed around between agencies. And it doesn't stop being passed anywhere. So the buck stops nowhere. No one takes responsibility. That's the whole point of this. So no one is forcing you to take the vaccine. It's all intimidation. And there is no ultimate authority. Isn't that amazing? No one is forcing you to take it. They just said you can't do anything. Like, literally, you will be down to being locked in your house. And then, of course, most people can't sustain being locked in their house for too long before taxes and fines and all kinds of other BS will bankrupt them. That's the end game. But you're, no one is going to come to your door and force inject you. They're going to make it so impossible, and you'll be so fenced in that you're just going to say uncle. But if enough people say no, then they might lose. I'm always hopeful that people will resist. And if they don't resist in your country, like Canada, they might resist in certain states.
To sue if there's a problem. I also noticed in Australia, in New South Wales, a member of the state government has brought forth a law. We also wrote about that in Freedom Forum Canada earlier in the week, but they brought forth a law holding employers who mandated vaccines responsible if there is side effects arising from the vaccines. So I think that the government wants churches to overstep their bounds and get sued out of existence. And then the government is safe. There are fewer centers of power. The church has traditionally served as a counterweight to government overreach. And that's obviously not happening right now.
And I've always said that the churches, not so much in Canada anymore, because the churches have kind of faded away. Church government is just another one of the four pillars of government. There's self-government, family government, religious, and then state. State government has overtaken and usurped all the other pillars in the last 50 years. That's why we're in the pickle we're in. There's no counterbalance. It's like letting an invasive species into an area. They have no natural enemies, no predators. They multiply, get out of control, and they all actually take over, and they'll end up killing each other because there'll be no competition.
Yeah, except in cases like Henry Hildebrand and Artur Pulowski, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, in Alberta. There are a number of ministers who are performing their traditional role, but the United Church of Canada is certainly not. I would go so far as to say that my writer did a follow-up article on October 14th. United Church responds to post on United Church of Canada bans unvaxxed. We talked with the communications officer at the United Church, a lady named Rudd, I believe, Catherine Rodd. And she said, no, no, that policy isn't ours. The church did that without any help from us whatsoever. So all I know is that the internal documentation we got explicitly cited the provincial government, explicitly cited the United Church of Canada, and both organizations have now pulled the rug out from under the place where I'm working.
So this is a dangerous path that the government's leading us on. Now, this is also applying to private businesses.
Yes.
So the businesses can now get sued for enforcing a recommended COVID policy?
Of course, because I believe that if you hold and stand your ground, you cannot be fired with cause. You can only be fired without cause, and then everybody gets to sue.
So a couple things are happening here. Again, small businesses are under attack.
Mm-hmm.
Big businesses will have the lawyers to defend themselves and drag this in through the courts for years and years in delay and all the lawfare that goes along with it. But small businesses, if they're looking at some large lawsuits, it's going to put them out of business. And I don't think small businesses are taking this into account, quite frankly.
I agree 100%. These sorts of regulations are designed specifically to destroy small businesses.
Hang on.
Oh, sorry.
Correction, regulations or mandates?
I would call them edicts, mandates perhaps. Formally, they're called regulations. They are certainly not laws created through parliamentary processes or procedures. They're certainly not laws. They are edicts, mandates.
So, you know, I was listening to a video today that was put out recently by a archbishop.
So there you go. That's
they do everything they can to get.
That's the main thing. The main thing is that they're going to use this method to kill small businesses and churches, the lawsuits, because the businesses are going to be liable for any damages they cause. I'm sure they won't even be able to buy insurance for it. So that's how they get rid of small businesses. That's one of the ways. But I thought that was pretty insightful. And interesting. We don't know the end game. We know the end game. We don't know the method to get to the end game. And that's just more speculation, but I think it's pretty damn good. All right. So I put Dr. Molden's stuff in a post there. Now you can't undo a vax. So here is a pretty awake rally in Canada. I'm just playing these things because they do give me hope that people are slowly understanding what's going on as they lose their jobs. And unfortunately, I think the losing the jobs is an important part of this.
And so do you know anyone here who works at the hospital? Do you have any connections with anyone here?
My mom, actually. She's a nurse. She recently got fired for not being vaccinated. And that's, like, she's been working there over 10 years, you know? And just to let her go like that, what is that?
Being in front of the Cambridge Memorial Hospital, where a group behind me of protesters, a lot of whom are staff working at the hospital, frontline nurses and nurse practitioners, other hospital staff have gathered to protest against the vaccine mandate that is being implemented by the hospital as ordered by the provincial Ontario government. Now, a lot of these hospital staff here have been let go of their jobs. They've been placed on an unpaid leave, and if they continue to refuse to provide proof of vaccination against COVID-19, they will face termination.
You start questioning that when the government is trying to force it on you, what is really going on here? Is it really about the virus anymore? And that is my personal view. It becomes hard to see that if we're in such a crisis with the pandemic, how they're letting all of us nurses and healthcare workers go when there's already a known and documented shortage.
This isn't reversible. If you make this mistake and you take this and this injures you, they can't take it out of your body. Everything else that we do, we can sort of alleviate the mistake. We can make up for it. We can change it. This, you can't change it. Once it's in your body, you're done. But it's not just that. It's where does this lead to then, right? So how many more booster shots are we going to need to take to keep our jobs? What else are we going to need to do to keep our jobs? Right now they have, well, we know what's going on right now in Australia, which is crazy. But you have a social credit system going on in China in which if you don't be a good citizen and go along with the party line, you're not allowed to go into certain places. You can't do shopping. You can't even work. So this is all about controlling our behavior and getting us to do things that we don't want to do. And when we actually allow them to do that, we lose no matter what.
Anyway, that was a good, nice to hear an awake person who's finally getting it. It's not about the vaccine. It's all about control. Vaccine is just a lever. Until I hear a politician or anyone besides Chris Sky actually say that, then I just don't believe they're telling the truth. For instance, DeSantis and Abbott, they know the end game. Let's hear them say it. Why can't they be frank and honest with the American people? Then they'd be more believable. But they're just talking about a virus and trying a different method of controlling the virus. They know it's not about the virus. They have to know. They can go to the same World Economic Forum videos that we do. So why aren't they talking about that? They have to talk about that for them to be credible to the intelligent minority like us. That's really, really the main thing that I wanted to bring forward with regards to it. Otherwise, I'm not listening to any of these stupid politicians. All right. We had a Rick and Rollo on the weekend. Now, this one was, excuse me, another big one, 5 hours. Fantastic Rick and Rollo. It wasn't leveled in the same way. It was just the old audio. Now, we did have pretty good audio earlier in the week, FAC 968. I think this was Thursday. No, Friday. Tons of people. I didn't even write down everyone that was on the call. 16 hours of very well leveled audio. There's a couple, one little small issue of Velas that's listening. A little bit of popping with the audio clipping. But overall, the quiet voices were brought up and the loud voices were actually brought down. It was very well done. I might try and install the software on this box as well. We'll see. We'll see if I can get it going because obviously it's works quite well. And thanks to Velaset for all his help. But you might want to take a look at that. Okay. It's about 9:27. I got about 5 more minutes. I'm going to, maybe I'll finish off talking about Fauci's remdesivir poison protocol. This was a pretty good, why is that not there? Okay, that link didn't work, so I got to play the actual audio link. You think it got pulled off Podcast Attic? Why isn't it not there? But anyway, it's Crow777. He's talking to this guy, Dr. Ardis. Where is that? Sorry. Dr. Ardis, where are you? I got to find it now. Okay. Crow. Where is it? Must be, okay, here it is. So let's play it here then. Maybe it'll play here.
From spreading the infection. And it's been absolutely proven beyond any doubt through research studies that the viral load inside of people getting the shots for COVID-19 is either identically the same in their nasal septum and in their throat. It's just substance and elements sitting there, combination of all kinds of different elements from COVID-19. And right now, you guys, it is still the only drug they're mandating for treatment in COVID-19 units and ICUs across America. And it's disgusting. It has actually killed, right now, that drug, over 700,000.
Now he's talking about remdesivir. Remdesivir is the only drug that's being allowed as part of the COVID protocol, I believe, in the United States and Canada And it had the highest kill rate in trials in Africa for Ebola. And Fauci is somehow linked to it. He's linked to Gilead, apparently. So what it does is if you test positive, if you have trouble breathing, you go to the hospital, you get a COVID test, you can't stop them from doing it. If you test positive, which you're almost 100% likely to test positive for, they put you on the COVID protocol, which means they put you on remdesivir, they put you in a coma, your body fills up with fluid, including your lungs, you can't breathe, so they intubate you, and the ventilator has another very high probability rate of killing you. So remdesivir, fluid, kidney shutdown, lungs fill up with fluid, intubation, death, 54% death rate. That's less than one out of two chances you will die. And that's what he's talking about, this Dr. Artis. It's a COVID pneumonia protocol. Stay away from the hospitals.
Americans. We're at 725,000 dead Americans.
Now that number, I don't believe that. That's all America. I believe almost every death in America since March 2020 has been attributed to COVID. I think that's just the natural number of people that actually do die, 1% of the population. So I don't believe the numbers, but it doesn't really matter in this point because I think the main issue is the remdesivir.
17 months since that mandate came out. And they're all told to be dying of COVID-19. No, they're not. They're dying of acute kidney failure, which remdesivir was proven to cause in the Ebola study, which drowns people to death in their own fluids called pulmonary edema. And then they said, Anthony Fauci in this memo, there's a second study from March 2020 that proves it's safe and effective against COVID-19. No, it didn't. I opened up that study now that I know he's lying. I hyperlinked it on the NIH.gov's memo. In the same paragraph, I opened up the second study now that I know he's lying to America. And it actually shows that Gilead gave 10 days worth of remdesivir to 53 COVID-19 patients, regardless if the virus exists or not. They had symptoms that they were titling COVID-19. 53 patients from Japan, America, and Canada. And they gave them remdesivir for 10 days. And the maker of remdesivir funded this whole study. It's called a cohort study. So Gilead, who owns the patent rights of remdesivir, gives 53 patients 10 days worth of remdesivir. And they wanted to see what happens. Who had COVID-19. And in 10 days, 23% of all of them had multiple organ failure and acute kidney failure. 8% of them had to be taken off the drug before day 10 because their liver and kidney were failing. They needed kidney transplants and they were going to die. That's what came out of that study. That's 31% of all people they gave the drug to in 10 days or less experienced multiple organ failure, threatened with death as a result of acute kidney failure.
Can I point out a couple issues here as we get in? So part of the problem with trying to communicate openly with a lot of people and hopefully save their lives is that we have to say things they can consider. So what we're establishing and what we have established is we go around saying supposedly COVID. What is COVID? Nobody seems to know what COVID is. You get a new truck in the world, you can get a picture of it. You can identify this truck is real. COVID does not fit that bill. So on top of that, you're going to be told all these studies about Ebola. Why would anyone in their right mind take any of the Ebola work seriously, knowing what's being openly flaunted about a supposed thing called COVID? And to top it off, well, I'll just stop right there. This is the kind of tangled web that has been woven so deftly as to just have mind shut down because logic doesn't apply to any of this.
Yep, that's right. So my whole message is this, and great points. I really appreciate you pointing that out. The entire reason why I'm doing this show right now, the entire reason why I continue to fly around the country and go to speaking engagements, medical doctors around the country are telling me the things that are occurring in hospitals, which is death in 5 to 10 days of most Americans, they experience as soon as they go in, they will diagnose them with whatever symptoms they have. It doesn't matter what they are. They'll tell them they're COVID-19 positive. Then they put them in the COVID unit. Then they give them remdesivir for 5 days and they all go into acute kidney failure. And then they develop what they call secondary pneumonia, which is not secondary COVID pneumonia. It's actually lungs filling with water from shutting down their kidneys with remdesivir. And every attending hospital medical doctor and nurse is letting me know that's exactly what's happening in every hospital, but they can't stop it.
Why would they do it? So Fauci posts the link. And in lies, according to what you've told them.
All right. That is really a good episode. I think Purple Play on the fake ologist Discord server recommended that. Really well done. I didn't listen to the second hour because I'm not a subscriber, but if you are, you should listen. But I've heard that before. The COVID protocol is what is slam dunking, killing people. You might want to stay, keep that in mind if you get into the hospital, if you can get in, because now they're closing them off to the uninjected. So how are you going to get in there and advocate for anyone that has the problem? It's a very dangerous situation. Very, very, very dangerous. It's crazy dangerous. All right, well, we've gone for about an hour. I didn't turn the phones on, but let me just recommend fake11.com/Discord if you want to join our Discord. Fantastic service. So many people are in it that don't even participate in the main blog or FakeoTube. But definitely head over to fake11.com/Discord. All you have to do is verify. Just basically do a sound check. I see Mike D is in there. Mike D, I can verify you if you want to go in the verify room. I think you're in the chat. That way we know that it's a real person and not a bot or an underage. You can check in there. Don't forget we have our Telegram, fake11.com/Telegram. And it's another week. Another week to see what's next. We got the passports here. It's causing lots of problems. Poor people, for sure. And hopefully you guys don't have the passports in your area, although I think it's worldwide. It's very well synchronized, for sure. Very well synchronized. I'm guessing it's in a country near you. All right, I'm going to close out with the donation slide. Basically, if you like the show and want to support it, fakeologist.com/Discord. Thank you, Lost Spider. Thanks, Mike D. Thanks, Stupid. Thank you to all the chatters, Crisis Actor, who I've never heard from before. And don't forget, I delete all the videos off YouTube. So the minute I stop the show, that's the first thing I'm supposed to do, because otherwise we'll get nixed. But all the videos, of course, are on fakeotube.com. Sign up at fakeologist.com if you want to comment. And stay out of moderation. Don't forget we have forums, fakeologist.com/forums2. And thanks for everyone's support. We'll be back. I'll be watching more, and everyone here, if you're even half considering taking the vaccine, go to fake11.com/vax, V-A-X. Download all the books and movies that I've accumulated. Watch all of them. Even if half of them are only half true, it should really cause enough doubt in your mind. Please do your research. Don't be intimidated. This will end. It will end badly for the poisoned and for those that abstain. Just be patient. Don't be in such a rush. Let this thing play out. Could take 10 years, but let it play out. I'm telling you. Have to be patient. Not going to be easy. It is a war on you. It's to weed out the stupid. And they're lining up. They're lining up to show they're stupid. I'm convinced of it. So just do your research. Watch some Dr. Molden. Watch some Forrest Moretti. Anybody. Watch any opposition. Even if you think they're controlled or false opposition, consider what they're saying at least and see what they're up against. You're up against. You're up against trillions of dollars. Trillions. It's a reset of the currency. Whatever you got in your wallet won't be worth anything at the end of the day anyway. So just remember that. And the people that are pushing this are making millions. Don't doubt it. So it's millions versus tiny budgets, the people in opposition. It's an incredible tsunami of money sponsoring this whole thing. It is, it's the world's largest marketing campaign in the history of the world because they're coupling it with a great financial reset for sure. All right. We will talk to you tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Good night.